Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word. Our first reading for the celebration of Reformation is not an Old Testament reading, but rather a reading from the book of Revelation. A lot of people see this section in Revelation and go, wow, the freedom of the gospel coming again to God's people. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading is Romans chapter 3, really sort of the heart and core of Paul's theology as the Holy Spirit guides and directs him to lay it out. It gets right to the core, like I said, of the truth of God, that we are sinners, doomed on our own, but given a great gift in God, in Christ. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance, He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No. But by a law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This too is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite the congregation to stand as we join in the Alleluia and verse at the bottom of page 205.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, Alleluia. Alleluia.
For Reformation, there's an alternate reading, and we're going to read to you the John passage instead of the Matthew passage that is printed on your inserts. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So, If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, good morning. And a happy Reformation Sunday to you as well. Why do we set aside today as Reformation Sunday? I will say it's not to eat piles and piles of sauerkraut and Polish sausages and to drown it down with good German beer. Although that does sound like a really good lunch today. But that's besides the point. It's more than just getting to tell the story of how one monk in electoral Saxony became the biggest and greatest thorn in the side of the papacy. It is more than just how one document nailed to the church in Wittenberg started the greatest argument for the people of God. This day is more than just a walk down memory lane for Lutherans. This day marks the beginning of the truth being restored to the people of God. If you recall, the church all those years ago lost something. It wasn't like it was thrown to the bottom of the closet under a pile of clothes or thrown out with yesterday's trash. But over the years, over the centuries, the gospel of our Lord became shrouded, buried, underneath all these different interpretations that stated the right expose of justification or the faithful interpretation of salvation, which we've come to learn that it was just through these convoluted teachings of fallen, sinful human creatures who also became more focused on preserving their own power, their own dignity, focus on themselves, that the truth of the gospel became lost, well, altered, and that the crucified and risen Lord became an image of terror and fear for the people of God when he should have been the very embodiment of peace, the one breaking the chains that bound his people in perpetual misery. For as Paul writes, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." Yes, this is why we have Reformation Sunday. To be reminded again and again that Jesus is our truth. That in him and you and I are free from the powers of darkness that seek to ruin us. But however, as you can already assume, not everybody wanted to hear this from our Lord. Not everyone wanted to believe what Jesus was saying. No one wanted to hear that they were a slave to something in this life. And that brings us to John 8. As we come to our reading this morning, Jesus has already given his second I am statement, proclaiming to the crowd inside the treasury that he is the light of the world, that those who follow after him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life within them. And rest assured, without missing a beat, the Pharisees were quick to act and to dispel what he was saying, to throw it away, to undermine him. Shocker, I know. But this did not dissuade Jesus from speaking. This didn't keep him from saying what he had to say. For what he says is to their benefit. It is for their good. Which is why he exclaims to them here earlier in the chapter, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." He has laid it out plain as day, believing that his words would get past their stubbornness, they get past their stopped ears, penetrate their hearts of stone, and that they would believe what he is saying. That without him, there is no life. Without him, there is no escape from the very sin that ensures that nothing but rot and decay start from the inside out. So as we come to our section What we see is a continuation of what he has been discussing. It is a continuation of everything leading up to them and telling them, no, there is no life apart from me. So now he has these Jews who are once believing, somewhat believe, but yet not convinced, who struggle with his words, many of whom have already written him off, but yet here are a few still waiting and listening, seeing what he has to say. And to these Jews is to whom he speaks. To them he says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will become the truth, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is it. What he offers is freedom and truth. Logically, this should have been a no-brainer from what was just covered a moment ago to the whole crowd. Freedom is through him. That truth only comes through him alone. For this is what is guaranteed to all of his disciples, all those who remain in him. But once more, this disbelief is still happening. It is still consuming them. So for those who are believing and those standing before him say, we are offsprings of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say we will become free? And his response is perfect. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Hear his words again. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. These Jews believe that Jesus was talking about physical enslavement, which many of them have probably never experienced. Sure, the Romans are oppressing them, but they're not slaves, at least not yet in their history under the Romans. But here, Christ was speaking of spiritual enslavement, one that every human creature has been placed under ever since our first parents openly rebelled and rejected the Lord and decided to eat of that fruit, which did only but curse them and all of us as well. So therefore, you and I and all of creation have become twisted, corrupted, stuck in the clutches of the mercy of sin, death, and the devil, who actively work to dull our senses with the very desires of the flesh. So instead of paying attention to Christ, we pay more attention to the idols that we have made of our own creation, be they greed, pride, tall tales, or what have you. Anything and everything that would hide the truth from our very souls, convincing us that what we're chasing after is indeed the truth that you and I so desperately crave in this world. But we become blind to the very danger that we unknowingly has consumed our lives. Spiritual enslavement is by far more dangerous than anything else in this world. For you and I could live our whole lives in sweet serenity, completely unaware of what is lurking below us, until the harvest comes and we see that farmer throwing us out of the barn along with the rest of the chaff to be consumed in fire. I can't imagine living a life without Christ, without knowing who he is. I can't fathom living life as a slave, never getting to enjoy the promise of eternal life with Christ, never being free from the burden and the weight of sin, never having the rich community to call upon fellow believers in times of great need, never knowing the joy of what it means to live in the house of a master as a son or daughter. I just can't wrap my head around that concept. And I'm sure that many a Christian can't either. For that is the most amazing gift of the truth. It is the freedom found through faith in our Lord and Savior, the only one who can remove the filth of sin from us, the only one who has made it possible for us to be called heirs, the one who has made us his own through the waters of holy baptism, declaring us to be freely given the full joy of the gospel, a joy that we should cherish all the days of our lives, a joy that this crowd, these Jews, should have just as well. But yet, they don't fully believe, or they're not entirely convinced that what he says is true. This is why he says to them, the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. For those who don't have anything to do with Christ, for them is nothing. There are no spoils to be enjoyed, no promise of a guaranteed status or safety in the things that are perishable, such as placing their faith, their trust, and their heritage, where they proclaim independence because Abraham, who was a free man, and that's their argument to him. But this will not save them from that enslavement spiritually. No human creature has the power or the authority to remove that status from themselves. Yes, they will continually and hopefully continue to listen to him. And that they're being told of this enslavement, that it will be over. Not through their might, not through their strength, but through him, through Christ, who will win this for them, which will come through his death and resurrection, of which all his faithful will endure through baptism, the joys that he is winning for them. Where we, in our own confessions, stay in the form of the conqueror, in the solid declaration, as Christ says, baptized people have been made free again. Therefore, they are not able only to hear the word, but also to agree with it and to accept it. We aren't just being washed. It's like if it's a shower or a bath. We are washed clean and robed in his righteousness. You see, it's through this gift of baptism that these Jews, and indeed all the faithful, are no longer slaves, but sons, heirs, fully enjoying the freedom that is won through them through faith in Christ. Only if they can get past this disbelief that has convinced them that what Jesus is saying isn't fully true. But just as he declared to them, so too does he declare to you. If the Son has set you free, you will be free indeed. That isn't an empty promise. That is a guarantee. It's one that we have won through baptism, given to us, washed of the enslavement that kept us in the clutches of sin, death, and the devil. But now in Christ, they have been defeated. The victory has already been won, as we said and sang about in our opening hymn. We stand firm and free through faith in our Lord. Yes, this world will do whatever it can to dull our senses, to convince us otherwise, to have us believing that what we're chasing after is truly the truth. Doing everything it can to take us away from Christ, convincing us. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to our Creator, who sent his Son to free us from this darkness, who gave his Son so that we can no longer be enslaved. Thanks be to God for what he has done for you and for me. This is why we celebrate Reformation. It's not for the food or the piles and piles of warm sauerkraut. It's not for the good beer. It is for the truth of the gospel and its purity. It is the freedom that has been won for you and for me through faith in Christ. This Reformation Sunday, remember, we have been declared free. We have now been declared sons and daughters. So hold fast to his word. If the Son has declared you to be free, you are free indeed.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.